Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the Chateau de Rothschild, on the sacrificial lamb, nice beautiful barbecue area that we have for all the children that we sacrificed. I'm a very special guest, who's a connoisseur of fine New York-style kebabs and pizzas. It's G. Edward Griffin, the man with the plan and the philosophy and intelligence that we may need to overthrow organized crime in our time. Mr. Griffin, welcome back.
Thank you, Godfather. So nice to be back.
I was hoping that that song would play, because I always do the Godfather impression thing, and I think we did that the first time we have. Yeah, I like the Godfather. I do. Anyway, I've been conscious of the fact during this interview, I've been trying to share with you some of my personal philosophies, and I don't think that's really what this really should be about, because I don't get to speak to you very often, and there is a lot of things that you've done in your life that are so important that have realizations that really change perspectives for people in and of their entirety. And you've been around many years, Ed. What are some of the most important lessons that you've really discovered in your lifetime that you would wish for future generations to hold on to?
Well, that's a great question. It's a huge question. It opens up in all directions, doesn't it? I would almost beg off on that, because I would like to have time to think about it. But, you know, there's certain things that come to mind that are pretty obvious. Most of my mental activity has been spent in political and economic and social affairs, with a strong secondary interest in health matters, and because those are the things I've written about. So you can kind of divide that all up. Are we talking about politics and social issues or monetary issues, human relationships, which is another category? Are we talking about health? And I think that everybody has their insights based on their own personal experiences about what to do, how to handle personal relationships. But the thing that I feel that I have a little edge over the average has to do with the political, the economic, and certainly the health issues, because I've had more time to pursue those, to read and research. It's like I've been in a lifelong class, like I'm enrolled in college ever since I was 20 years old, and I just keep going to class every day. And, you know, I realize that most people aren't that fortunate. They can't do that. They've got a life to live. They've got a job to pursue, a family to raise, and all of that. Fortunately for me, that's been part of my profession. It's been how I pursue a job. And so I'd like to just focus on that for a minute. In the field of health, the most important lesson I learned early on was that health doesn't come from the pharmaceutical industry. That optimum health is really something that the body itself creates if you give it a chance. You've got a commercial on one of your sponsors there, by one of your sponsors, that says it pretty well. The body will heal itself. It just needs a little help. I would not have used the word help. What it needs are raw materials. You know, it's like a machine that makes cement. It needs to have sand and rock and some certain chemicals. It just needs the raw materials, and it'll make cement. But it was almost a shock to me to realize that all the dread diseases that we think about, the chronic diseases like cancer and arthritis and heart disease and all of the big killers, they're not caused by a deficiency of some drug. They're caused usually by a deficiency of some nutritional element that, for one reason or another, individuals are no longer getting an adequate supply. It may be because they have a lousy diet, because they're eating all these processed foods, the easy foods that are so easy to come by, but in the path of processing them, so many of these little micronutrients have been removed. Or maybe they're eating nice fresh vegetables and all of that sort of thing, but the vegetables are coming from land that has been tilled and producing those same crops for 80 or 100 years. And with each passing year, a little more of those micronutrients, you know, things like selenium that you never think about, are being drawn out of the soil and put into the food and hauled off into market and not replaced. Maybe the fertilizers that the farmers are putting down or contain a lot of good things, phosphates, you know, some minerals, but not those little trace minerals. They're gradually being depleted. And so even people who are eating fresh vegetables thinking, ah, I'm eating healthy, are gradually, with the passage of time, being exposed to lower and lower levels of essential trace minerals. So when that picture finally got clearly implanted in my brain, I would call it a real epiphany. It was a complete change in how I viewed seeking medical advice and medical help. It used to be that I would say, well, let's find a doctor. You know, what does the doctor say? And then further research in terms of cancer, I found out that what the doctor says is what the doctor is taught. And what the doctor is taught, it comes from the curricula, which is determined by the donors of the money to the universities that teach the doctor. And those donors, for the large part, either are or are part of the pharmaceutical industry. So I found out, much to my amazement, that doctors are heavily biased in favor of pharmaceuticals rather than nutrition, man-made chemicals with patents on them that can be very profitable, and that the whole medical profession is geared in the direction of making people feel better after they have become ill. And notice I said feel better. I didn't say cure them, but feel better, because the medical profession treats symptoms. They don't necessarily are concerned about what the cause of this disease, as long as they can treat the symptoms and make you feel better and keep you on the drug for the rest of your life to feel better. Well, all of that, that was a very profound awakening for me, and I think it might have had something to do with my health. I'm pretty healthy for my age. Fortunately, I'm sure luck has had a lot to do with it, and my wife has been a great teacher and cook and nutritionist, and she's kept me on the straight path with a good diet and all of that. But part of it was my own awareness that you just don't go running to the doctor for a new drug every time you've got a cramp or a pain or a headache or something like that. So we'll just start with that one. Vinny, I would say that general awareness that health comes from nature, that it's a balance between the mechanisms of the body that you're born with, and the input of certain basic raw materials, many of which are chemicals which we don't even think about. You know, they're trace minerals, and particularly. And enzymes. Sometimes we don't even have the enzymes that we're supposed to have because the food is too cooked and all the enzymes in the food are gone. Or because we've put food through the microwave, and the microwave process destroys the enzymes and to some extent even changes the chemical composition of the food itself. So again, I'm kind of going over the same ground. The more I learned that health, optimum health, I believe, comes from nature and the body's balance with nature, that was perhaps one of the biggest discoveries of my life and has had one of the biggest and the most profound effects on my life.
I was just thinking about what you're saying about enzymes there. I came up with another bad joke. Maybe you should write a book called The Enzyme Prophecies.
Well, there's some very good books out there on enzymes. As a matter of fact, if any of your listeners are interested, they should come to our website, our Reality Zone website, and go to the health section And you'll find a couple of excellent treatises on the role of enzymes, the variety of them, and especially on how easily they can be disabled through processing. And, of course, how to replace them, how to find healthy replacements for them.
I do recognize this, that almost everything that everybody consumes on a daily basis has gone through an enormous amount of processing, and it has almost nothing to do with food. What we consume nowadays is not food. It's food-like products.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Well, what can I say? I think everybody's vaguely aware of this, but maybe they need to think about it a little bit more to come to that kind of an epiphany that I had some years ago, so that I realized that this was not just a little exceptional coincidence here and there, but this was universal across the board and affecting our lives in so many ways. If they want to live an optimum life, I think they better get hip on that.